Now we're going to dig a little bit deeper in that sand, and we're going to hear about a group of creatures that live in sand and why these creatures are extraordinary timekeepers, because incredibly, they can predict the times of tides. David Wilcoxon studies this at the University of Aberystwyth. So David, before you tell us about the timekeeping, what actually are these creatures?
These creatures are a relative of the woodlouse, which most people are fairly familiar with, I'd imagine. And they got a scientific name, which is Eurydice pulchra, after the Greek mythology Orpheus and Eurydice. And we know them as the speckled sea louse.
And what do they do? What's their sort of life cycle?
So, I mean, they're a fascinating, they're a beautiful animal, and they're a fascinating animal because they live buried in the sand, that's about 10 centimetres, usually less, and they emerge from the sand when the tide comes in, and they swim around, they feed, they mate. But critically, they burrow back into the sand before the tide then retreats as the tide goes out. And the reason for this is because they want to maintain their preferred position on the shore. They don't want to get washed out to sea. They also don't want to get washed too far up the shore. So using this timing mechanism, which is based on a tide or a 12.4-hour cycle, they can maintain their position or their station on the shore.
Because, of course, there are high tides every 12 hours, aren't there? So how do they do that? How are they keeping time on a 12-hour basis? Because obviously we're familiar, you and me, with and pretty much every living thing on Earth has a body clock and can keep time. But most body clocks we see keep 24-hour time, not 12-hour time.
And that's the sort of the crux of a long, you know, long-standing argument in biologists about the nature of timekeepers. So you're quite right. We have a circadian or 24-hour clock, as do nearly all terrestrial organisms. And marine biologists have been arguing about whether animals actually have a bona fide or a dedicated 12.4-hour clock, or whether it's just some sort of modification of this 24-hour clock. We have fairly recently discovered that whilst this speckled sea louse has a 12.4-hour clock, it does have a daily or a circadian clock as well. But we can actually separate them or disentangle the two clocks to show that they are separate entities. So they have a dedicated 12.4-hour clock and a daily clock that operate slightly different behaviours.
Is it working in their brain or nervous system in the same way that I have in my nervous system a cluster of nerve cells which have a sort of genetic clock ticking, keeping time like a genetic domino effect? So it ticks around taking 24 hours to do it. Do they have the same thing for 12 hours?
We believe so. We're still working very hard to fully identify the cells in the brain that operate this, but we're pretty sure we have a good idea that this is occurring in the brain alongside the 24-hour clock, yes.
And the 24-hour clock, is that set by daylight in the same way that mine is? Because I get up in the morning, nice deluge of bright blue light strongly activates my body clock and says it's morning. Do these creatures have a light-sensitive clock too?
Yes, it is light-sensitive, Chris, and this has been important in our sort of dissection of the 24-hour and the 12.4-hour clock in this animal. We can actually take Eurydice or the speckled sea louse off of the shore, and we can put them into altered light regimes, and we can change aspects of their 24-hour clock. They have these beautiful cells, these chromatophores, these colour pigment cells all over the back of the animal, and they contract and expand on a 24-hour basis. And what we can do is we can manipulate that using different light regimes. And the other thing we can do, and what a lot of chrono or clock biologists use, is constant light to disrupt rhythms. Organisms don't like to be in constant light. It messes with their biological clock.
So that would include like artificial light. If you deluge the shoreline in artificial light, this could also disrupt this clock.
Absolutely. And what we did actually is we took animals from the shore, we put them into constant light, and we found that these pigment cells, the rhythm of those was demolished. It was completely messed up. But the tidal rhythms, this 12.4-hour swimming, was left intact. And that's one of the clues that told us that there are two systems operating independently.
I'd just like to bring Danny in here because obviously these are small crustaceans, Danny, but there are many other bigger creatures that could also be disrupted in the oceans then by artificial light from humans.
Yeah, exactly. So if you think about the fact that the majority of cities in the world are situated by the coast, there's a lot of artificial light along shorelines. And there was a study recently by Bolton et al. In Science of the Total Environment 2017, and they found that artificial light actually made predators more active. And this had cascading effects on the communities of invertebrates that were in the area because they just didn't stop eating. They wouldn't stop because it's like, if you know, that's why they shouldn't put a light in a fridge, I reckon, at night to help me with my diet. But so basically they just eat all the time. And this had, you know, huge effects on the communities.
Thank you, Danny. And thank you also to David Wilcoxon, who told us about his work he's doing at the University of Aberystwyth.